It's like a police chase up here or something. You found me. You found me. Anyway, so we're continuing the Hearing God series that John has been in and out of the last couple of months. And he talked about how hearing God through the simplicity of his word brings transformation to our hearts. And this week we're talking about how hearing God through prayer sustains a transformation. All right, and so prayer is this kind of mysterious, foggy term that a lot of us don't really have a good understanding of. And there's books like, you know, that thick written on it. And so my goal is not to go into every little nuance of prayer, but my goal is to give us some helpful starting points so that we can grow in prayer and learn to hear God through prayer a little bit better. So simply put, what is prayer? Prayer is conversation with God. That's all that it is. And any conversation, any relationship, any good, healthy relationship is a two-way relationship. It's not just a one-way relationship, right? And so there's talking prayer and there's listening prayer as well. So talking prayer looks like worship. It looks like intercession. It looks like meditating on his word and talking to him about it. It also looks like opening up about the details of our heart and our life. And God actually longs to hear what's going on in our hearts. He longs to hear what's going on in our lives. And one of the things I find fascinating about God is that in the scriptures, you actually get this idea that God, even though he knows everything about us, he acts as if he doesn't know anything that we don't reveal to him, right? And so Jesus says, I'm knocking on the door of your heart, waiting to come in. Will you let me in? He already knows everything about us. He knows your address, obviously. He knows where to find you. He knows that you're eating inside. He's like, come, you know, let me eat with you, you know. But he relates to us in this way where he wants us to open up about the issues of our lives with him because he's a relational God and he's after relationship, right? He's not after what we can do for him necessarily, although it's part of our relationship with God. He's after relationship. He's after the communion, the expressing our emotions, the expressing our struggles. That's part of our heart that he really loves about us. And let me see where we are here. So he wants a relationship with us because he, in the dialogue with him, we get wisdom for each and every unique situation that we're in, right? And so he doesn't want us, again, like I said earlier, he doesn't want us relating to him based on a set of principles. He wants us relating to him based on his presence, his nature, his character, and present fellowship with him, right? And so I'm going to make a funny confession here. So John calls me the prayer guy. He called me the prayer wizard before. I wasn't really the biggest fan of that name, but that's all right. But even though my ministry and my assignment in the church is intercession, the majority of my prayer life is not intercession. The majority of my prayer life is worship. The majority of my prayer life is communing with Jesus, enjoying him. And just like Robert did earlier, that was an awesome worship set. Enjoying Jesus looks like thanking him for who he is and thanking him for what he's done. And as we begin to thank him for who he is and what he's done, we ask the question, God, why would you do something like that? And that's where the beauty of God's revealed. Not when we ask what, when we ask why'd you do that. That's where we encounter the beauty of God. And the number two aspect of prayer is the listening prayer. And listening prayer, we can get alone with God in silence. We can get alone with God in many ways, through worship, through all these different ways. But his answer to us, if we're seeking him, it can come in the form of an idea. It can come in the form of a scripture. He can speak directly to your spirit. And my favorite, the one he most often asks me, have you obeyed the last thing I've told you to obey? Right? How many have heard that before? Yeah, one person. Yeah, I doubt it. I hear it daily. Tim, have you done the last thing I've told you to do? But it's important that in the process of learning to listen to him and kind of developing a prophetic culture, that we understand that God's never going to contradict his word. Right? Our feelings will never contradict his word. Our feelings will never contradict his wisdom. And although there are lots of ways he can speak to us through prayer, it's actually important that we take the time to listen. Right? And so this is probably the most neglected area of my life, of most Christians' lives. We're great at pouring out our hearts to God. We're great at, you know, doing X, Y, and Z for God. But when it comes to being still in his presence and actually listening to what he's saying to us, we have serious trouble. Am I right? And so, again, if all we do is talk to him and never listen, it becomes a one-sided relationship, right? It's like you calling your friend, dumping all of your problems on your friend, and then saying, okay, bye, and hanging up the phone, right? God says, hey, I have something to say about that. Do you want to hear it, right? And so if we learn to listen, we'll find that he's always speaking. He's always speaking. He's speaking through our circumstances. He's speaking through his silence. His silence speaks. How awesome is that? The God's silence speaks to us as well. And so God has four answers to us when we pray. The first answer is yes. So if you can put up 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. All right, and so there are some prayers that we pray where Jesus says, yes, I'll answer that right now, right? And you know, a funny example is, how many of you have been praying for a friend and you're talking to your friend later in the week and you say, hey, how you doing? What's God doing in you this week? And they repeat back the exact same phrase that you've been praying for them. Has that happened to you before? Yes. Right, right. And so God says, yes, I answered that prayer because it was in my will. I did it right when you asked me to. Right, and so the second prayer, or the second answer that he gives us, is yes. No. Now, it's kind of a funny one to put up there. No is actually the least often answer that he gives us. Right, he doesn't like to say no to us because he knows that sometimes no hurts us. He does say no, but he actually likes to say his third reply. You know what? How about something different? Right, there you go. So again, he says this way more often than he says no. And the reason is that because in our lack of understanding, we actually don't know what we really want. Right? And so God knows and he sees the depths of our hearts, and he's faithful to draw out and provide for the true desires of our hearts. If you can put up Proverbs 25, that would be great. It says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And that's what Jesus does when he says something different. He's like, I know you think you want that, but what you actually want is something different than that, right? So, is AJ in here or is he in kids today? He's in kids, darn it. That's all right, we could roast him anyways a little bit. Anyways, so when I was growing up, I had two older siblings. I had two older siblings, and I was always really eager to have a younger sibling, just so I could kind of rough him up a little bit, and then love him, and then give him some advice, point him in the right direction. AJ and I kind of share that relationship right now. There's this funny joke I always tell him. He's kind of easy to get his feathers ruffled a little bit. A lot of us know that. A lot of us like ruffling his feathers a little bit. And so you know, whenever I ruffle his feathers a little bit, I put my arm around him. I go, AJ, we're gonna be together forever. I'm like, how do you like that? I actually tell him, I was like, hey, I'm fasting and praying. I can be your neighbor forever. I can invite you over every day, you know. But, so, I mean, you know, that was a yes that God had heard 20 years before. And now he's actually put me in the context to actually do it for his glory, right? And so what I would have done back then wouldn't have been for his glory. I probably would have messed somebody up pretty bad, you know. But now I have the opportunity to do it to the glory of God. And then we get to spend forever together. And it's better than I could have asked for. So when he says something different, I think of Ephesians 3:20, where it says that God answers our prayers abundantly and exceedingly above all that we can ask or imagine. And that's very true. It's very true. And the fourth answer that he gives is not yet. And he says, keep obeying and keep coming back to me. All right, and so of all the ways that God could govern the universe, of all the ways that he could choose to run the world, why did he choose prayer? This is one of the most simply profound questions that exists, right? And so he chose prayer primarily because he wants relationship. We get more of him. Right? Again, he wants us more than what we could do for him. And the paradox of prayer is that he gives more to those that are hungry for it, right? And so there was there was a time several years ago where I was on a 3-day fast. I just ended the fast, and I woke up in the morning. I was like, oh, I'm so hungry for you, Jesus. I'm so hungry. So I spent time worshiping him, thanking him for who he is, declaring the truth of who he is, getting my spirit stirred up. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to bubble up inside of me, and I experienced I literally experienced paradise. I experienced joy. I experienced peace. I experienced this overwhelming love and desire for Jesus, this love and desire for others. And I never experienced anything like it before. But I can tell you that that little encounter that existed for maybe 5 or 10 minutes has transformed my trajectory with Jesus. And I say, unless I'm encountering him at that deep of a level, I don't know that I'm going in the right direction anymore, right? And so we get more of him, we stay connected to him, and he gives to those that are hungry for it. And he knows how extremely good his presence is, and he knows how, I gotta think of the right word for it. He knows that encounters bring accountability with them, right? And so he says, if you're hungry for it, I'll release an encounter, but just know it's going to ruin you. It's going to actually leave you not in the same place that you were before. You're not going to be able to pursue the old things that you wanted to, right? And so I want to encourage us this morning that the pursuit of him in the place of prayer is absolutely worth it, bar none. It's the most worthy thing that you can give your life to. And, you know, we can be growing in all sorts of Christian activity, and we can actually not be growing in our relationship with God, right? And so the indicator of why I'm successful before God is that I'm growing in love for him in the secret place, not that I'm growing in Christian activity, right? And so the second reason that God has chosen prayer is that we grow in love for each other. And so my deepest friendships that I've formed have been friends that I've encountered Jesus with. Where's Heath? Where's Heath in the room? He's right there. So me and Heath were both taking a little bit of time to fast last week, and we spent some time in my room, and we put on one worship song, and immediately the presence of Jesus shows up in our room, and we're like, all right, this is great. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. You're good, you know. But something happened in that exchange where I now love Heath way more than I did before, because we experienced something better. We experienced God together, and he's about relationship. And so when he shows up in our friendships deepen, and they deepen in him. And the most, let me see here. Yeah, he knits our hearts together with those that we seek and enjoy him with. And if we want to grow in love for specific people in our lives, the simplest way is to pray for them and invest in the place of prayer, because God knits our hearts to them. The third reason that God has chosen the place of prayer is because we grow in love for those who don't know him. And so, you know, John talked about Isaiah 6 last week, and that Isaiah, he beheld something in God that disintegrated him. Basically, his being became, he disintegrated, meaning that he became, he got broken into a million pieces, basically, in the presence of God. And God put him back together and commissioned him. All right, and so I want to suggest that passion for the lost, the burden for people, it comes from encounter with God. All right, and so the reason this is so important is because we can be evangelizing to people, but if we don't know what we're actually bringing them into and offering them, we're not actually helping them very much, because we need revelation. We need power on our hearts in order to bring people into what we've experienced, right? And so we saw Isaiah beheld the beauty of the Lord, and he looked down around him. He goes, "You're beautiful. Everybody around me is broken. You're beautiful. Everybody around me is broken." And as a result, he went back and he prophesied about the beauty of the Lord and about the brokenness of the situation. But he invited people to encounter that same beauty that he had, and he said it's paramount that you encounter the beauty of God because of all the brokenness that surrounds you, right? And so I want to break the lie that evangelism is more loving than prayer, right? This is a lie that exists in the evangelical church, and I want to suggest that we need both. We can't neglect evangelism. We can't neglect prayer either, because if we don't pray, if we don't connect to God, we actually have nothing to offer, right? We don't know what we're inviting people into. And evangelism is simply saying, I've encountered something so beautiful in God. I've encountered such grace. I've encountered such mercy. You have to encounter this too. You have to experience what I've experienced, right? And again, one of the reasons that prayer is so important in loving the lost is because if we pray for the lost, if we contend for them, we actually get God's perspective, and we can actually be what they need. We can be servants to them. We can be vessels of love, we can be vessels of grace, we can be vessels of mercy, which is what they need rather than what we think they need, which might be a fact or might be something different, right? So we actually want to, prayer enables us to embody Jesus to the lost. That's how we operate in evangelism. However, there are some hindrances to the place of prayer, right? The first one is, coming up on the screen, unbelief. The first hindrance to the place of prayer is unbelief. And we say, does this actually work? Is this accomplishing anything, right? How many of you get in your quiet times and you go, what's this going to accomplish today? What really is going to happen today, right? I do want to encourage us, Satan is the father of lies, and he wants to keep us out of the presence of God. He wants to keep us out of his purposes. He wants to keep us out of the stream of revelation, because he knows that if revelation of God touches us, we're going to bring transformation to other people throughout the day, right? And so I would encourage you guys, when you encounter this lie in the secret place, believe that God wants to break through in that quiet time, that he wants to give you something that's going to be critical to you and most likely the transformation of somebody else. Somebody else needs what you're about to get during the day, right? And so I remember I was taking a walk a few years ago, and I was worshiping Jesus and processing my life with him, and I go, God, how do I grow in prayer? How do I grow in prayer? God, I know I'm called to this, but how do I grow in prayer? And really clearly to my spirit, he just says, believe that it works. And I go, what? I'm like, that's a statement that I don't even grasp. It's a statement that we're not actually going to grasp as a church. But the gravity of it is that prayer works. And that's the reason that God, that's actually how God motivates us to pray. And so if we could imagine that, you know, if I'm praying for Robert one day, I'm praying for God to fill his heart with revelation, God to fill his heart with love, God to root his heart, or to root and ground his heart in the love of God. I imagine, I'm praying for Robert, I imagine at the same time, God, you're releasing it right now, thank you. I'm praying your will, I thank you that it's being released, right? And as I do that, I build faith, I build confidence, it makes me want to pray for other people. I'm like, man, who else needs an encounter? I'm just going to release one through prayer, you know? But I'm sure that most of you have felt the power of being prayed for during your quiet times, right? Like you wake up one day and you're like, I just feel the goodness of God today. I'm just excited to get into his presence, right? That's because somebody's praying for you, guaranteed. It's either Jesus or it's either one of your friends, right? But we can all wake up like that. I don't know, I want to say every day. We can all wake up like that consistently, though, if we agree to pray for one another as a church. The second hindrance to prayer, and we step on some toes here, including my own, there's a fight for our time with Jesus, right? And so the enemy fights against your time with God. And the first thing that he goes after is your time in the Word. And the second thing that he goes after is your time in prayer. And that's because getting God's perspective will fuel effective prayer. And once effective prayer is fueled, all of a sudden the mission of God's in front of you, and all of a sudden you're living in the Holy Spirit, doing the work of God, in the power of God, right? And so the Word is actually the fuel for an effective prayer life. And let me see here. Yeah, that's it on that one. So there's a fight for your time with Jesus. So I'm reminded of Daniel. You know, Daniel's prayer life was so effective that they made laws against it in the land, right? That's crazy to think about. His prayer life was so effective, the guys are like, we can't touch the guy with any sort of accusation. What's his source? If we can cut him off from the presence of God, that guy's done, right? They tried, but we know the end of that story. They got thrown in the lion's den instead. But if you think about that, that prayer matters so much. It's just an Old Testament illustration of how the enemy attacks our quiet times, how he attacks the secret place, right? And so we want to be faithful. We want to be consistent in the secret place. And I know that even in the church, there's a lot of there's a lot of busyness this season, and Christian activity is increasing, friendships are increasing, birthday parties are increasing, which are all great things, all great things, you know. But I do want to urge us and say, hey, we actually need to prioritize prayer and relationship with Jesus first and foremost in order to continue to love one another like he's called us to, right? And the third hindrance to prayer, oh, this really steps on my toes too, we grow impatient. Oh boy. You know that's you. So we want things on our own time frame, and we have a hard time believing that God wants his best for us, but that he governs our lives from a different perspective than ours. Right? So God is seated on the throne in eternity, and he says, we're praying to God for one thing. This is touching on earlier. We're praying to God for one thing, and he says, hey, I'm actually building something in you that's more important than that. So keep showing up, keep pressing in, don't give up. And it's in the process of continuing to go back to him, of continuing to surrender to him, of continuing to choose to say that he's good and to believe the truth, that he actually builds in us what we need to sustain what we're asking for. All right, so it's the going back, it's the learning to lean, it's the relying on Jesus, where he says, okay, now I can bless you with the blessing that you've been asking for because you're relying on me and not on yourself anymore, right? And so, often we think, yeah, something is important, and God's focused on something different entirely. And I want to share a story of my mom not growing impatient. So my mom prayed for me for 17 years for my salvation before the Lord finally spoke a promise to her. So she was in the sanctuary one day. The Lord spoke a promise to her when she was praying for my salvation. I was 17 years old, and said, soon. That was the only word that she got, but she said it dropped in her spirit. Soon. And all of a sudden, from that day forward, she had incredible peace that the Lord was gonna follow through on his word. And I'm thankful that he gave her that peace, because 17 through 23 were the darkest years of my life, right? And she watched me walk through an incredible amount of pain and brokenness and all that stuff. But she had a word from the Lord to sustain her heart during the darkest of times, right? And oftentimes, God will give you a prophetic word because he wants to sustain your heart in hope during a really dark time, right? But the encouraging part is that the promise is coming, but we need to remember that God's word is first and foremost true, that he's good, and that he's working everything together for our good too, right? So I'm going to have the band come up real quick. Short and sweet, like usual. And next, I'm gonna give a few practicals about how to grow in the place of prayer. And the first way that we grow in the place of prayer, and the most important way, is that we cultivate a right view of God. And if we think that God is harsh, if we think that God is condemning, if we think that God is mean towards us, if we think that, any number of things, we're not going to want to pray to him because we think that he's going to, be mean or harsh. We think that he's going to hurt us rather than help us. And so cultivating the right view of God is the most important way to grow in our relationship and to grow in the place of prayer. Because once we know, like even right now, I imagine God is smiling towards me, right? And he is saying, I'm so glad that you're my son. I'm so glad that I purchased you. I'm so glad for your zeal for me. I'm so glad for my spirit with you. I'm so glad that I chose you. Right? And now I have confidence to run to him instead of shrinking back in fear, shrinking back in doubt that he wants to hurt me. He doesn't want to speak to me. But it's important to know who we're praying to. And that's primarily what Jesus came to do when he was on the earth. He came to show us who we're praying to. He said, hey, God is a healer. Hey, God is a provider. Hey, God is full of grace. Hey, God is full of mercy. Jesus came to the earth primarily to teach us how to relate to God. He came to teach us how to pray. That was his primary mission while he was on the earth, to say, hey, I want to reveal the glory of the Father so you know how you can get it for yourself, right? The second thing that we do is that we schedule time to pray. And it's not legalistic or religious to schedule time to pray, right? It's actually prioritizing something that Jesus tells us to prioritize in our lives, right? The only thing that makes it legalistic is our heart in it. If we're going to the place of prayer to earn God's love, that's legalism. If we're going into the place of prayer already assured of God's love and enjoying his beaming face over us, literally, that's the way that he wants us to relate to him, right? And so if we make a prayer list, there's a third way. And I do want to encourage us that, I don't always stick to my prayer list, but having them there keeps my mind from wandering, and it keeps me from frittering and wasting away the time that God's given me to spend with him. And of course, I follow the Holy Spirit wherever he leads. But what keeping a prayer list really does is it keeps the mission of God in front of us, right? It says, why am I waking up today? I need to encounter my mission first thing so I don't waste or fritter my time, so I don't waste my life today, right? And so if you, there's multiple ways to do this. You can develop a prayer list for yourself. You can take the church's bookmark. I pray off the church's bookmark probably the most often. But I do want to encourage us, if we schedule time to pray, if we put it in our list, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He prayed for a substantial amount of time, 3 times a day. It says that he gave thanks to God, and he lifted up his voice for Jerusalem 3 times a day. And I just want to encourage us that if we don't learn to get it in our schedules are only going to crowd. It's going to become more and more difficult to carve out time for prayer and to keep it a priority in our lives. And that we'll pray 10 times more often if we actually schedule it and make a list, right? And so for ministry time today, say maybe you're stirred to deepen your prayer life. I want to encourage you that what I've told you about his presence, the only reason I shared the experience with you is called infused prayer. It's when the Holy Spirit bubbles up inside of you and lets you literally taste heaven, lets you experience heaven. The only reason I told you that is because it's available to everybody here, right? I want to provoke us that if we do decide to run after Jesus in a way that's disciplined and costly, the fire of the Holy Spirit falls on sacrifice, right? The fire of the Holy Spirit falls on our scheduled times. The fire of the Holy Spirit falls when we're sleepy. The fire of the Holy Spirit falls when we're tired, when we don't feel like it. And so I'm simply only here to tell you that there's something more for you to taste. There's something more for you to experience. And, you know, again, I can tell you how good it is. I can tell you how amazing it is, but I can't actually put the bread in your mouth. You know what I mean? So I just want to provoke us this morning that Jesus is worth pursuing in the place of prayer. There's way more of him to experience than you ever even thought possible. And that it's not only the most satisfying journey you could ever be on, it's the only journey ever really worth being on, is pursuing him and encountering him in a deeper way. All right. So maybe I've stirred you to deepen your prayer life. Maybe you've been neglecting prayer in the past season of your life. Maybe you haven't prioritized him. And, you know, I just want to say I'm not primarily passionate about prayer. I'm passionate about Jesus, and prayer is my assignment, right? And so I'm passionate about connecting with him, because I know whenever I connect with him, my life gets changed, my heart gets healed, and everything gets made new in my life. And so I'm primarily passionate about Jesus, and out of that flows my passion for prayer, because I know how effective it is. I know that it's the only way to actually go deeper before we go wider as a church. And so maybe you've neglected prayer the past few weeks, maybe months in your life, and I just want to say it's normal. Everybody goes through seasons that are a little more trying, a little bit more difficult, but I want to stir our hearts this morning that Jesus has more for us if we're willing to wake up early again, press in again, say yes to him again. He longs to meet with us in the mornings. His heart is full of desire to meet with us. His heart is full of desire to give us encounters. And there's a direct connection between the amount of time we spend pursuing him and the amount of time we spend encountering him, right? And so, so ministry time is going to start. And if you want someone to pray for you, I would encourage you just find somebody close to you, find somebody that you trust, and just have them pray for your prayer life. As simple as that sounds, but Jesus wants to encounter you in a deeper way. He's got more for you than you ever even thought possible, and he is excited to give it to you. And I just want to assure you, the encounters and the experiences that people have written about in the past, and I'm telling you about, they're real. They're not fake. I know it can seem like a lot of hype sometimes, especially from the outsider perspective, to say, no, man, that guy's just full of emotion. He's just full of, I don't know, full of his own thoughts, full of his own mind. But I want to assure you, Jesus says in John 14 that if you love me and you love my Father and you obey my commandments, then the Father and I will come and manifest ourselves to you, right? And so it's scripture just to back up that Jesus wants to release encounters to you if you pursue him as he asks us to.